Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. I'm gonna stand my ground, I won't be turned around. And I keep this world from dragging me down. I'm gonna stand my ground.
Hello and welcome to the Talkin' Yanks pregame show. Thank you very much for joining us. We got game three, the closing matchup of the three-game series, little Thursday day game action. Yankees going for the sweep. We're going to the game. You excited, Jake?
James, Zach, Patreon Sam lurking. You never know. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You could tell by the tunes. That's always the, you know, you're going into battle. Tom Petty, acoustic, won't back down.
This was actually sung by Tim Goodwin, and it's the sixth video in a series of 10.
Zach probably hasn't told you this, but we sang that as Dueling Dillons one night.
How'd it sound? And, That's cool.
Yeah. It wasn't a karaoke bar. So people got really mad at us.
It was just a restaurant?
It was just a nice restaurant.
Yeah, we just started doing it a cappella, like, kind of style. No backing track.
Actually, know what Zach was playing?
What?
Cups.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, filled with water to different levels, so they make different sounds.
The original drum set, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Franklin invented an instrument, based off the water thing.
Is that the theremin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they said that it was demonic.
Kinda. Yeah.
And that it was, you know, it sounded like angels crying, and they said it was the devil's music, so it kind of got banned from society.
That's science.
Yeah. Ben Franklin's such a sick fuck. Well, let's make a musical instrument out of glass.
Bored today.
Bored as all hell. All right. Well, Yankees got a lineup.
How are you doing, Jim?
I'm hurting. I'm not doing well at all. So hopefully it's a nice, fun game we can sit and just watch. When I don't get a lot of sleep, I get keg sores in my mouth. And I haven't been getting any sleep at all. Like, I'm living on, like, 4 hours of sleep now. And my mouth is a battlefield. So I can't really swallow. Can't really talk. Hurts a whole bunch. So that's what I'm going through. It's right here. It's a whole fucking huge one.
Didn't you... Wasn't that your senior year talent show song, My Mouth is a Battlefield?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, you should give the people a little bit.
Well, actually, it's like a performance art. What I did was I swallowed a firecracker.
Yeah.
And then I regurgitated it, lit it.
Live snake.
A match off my tooth, you know, like in a cowboy movie.
Yeah.
Lit it. And it was like, my mouth is a battlefield, into the audience.
I could see how that might create, like, throat problems for you later in life.
I tried to sell it to Blue Man Group. I said they weren't interested.
Couldn't be less interested.
Wasn't blue enough.
You're not blue.
Yeah.
No blueness in this.
Blue Man Group.
All right. All right. What's that lineup looking like, Timbuktu?
DJ LeMahieu's leading off. Giancarlo Stan playing DH. He's playing the DH. He's riding a bike while his teammates play the field. He's playing the bike and batting second.
Rides a bike and takes four at-bats.
Judge, batting third in right field. Gio the Gotter shell, a cleanup. Gleyber Torres behind him at short. Ford at first, since Odor is hurt. Hicks in center field. Higgy's catching. Clint in left field. Cole on the bump. We nailed this on Tuesday's main episode. We said that Higgy and Clint were going to get the bookends. Gary and Gardner were going to get the middle game. And they did. And I'm fine with it. I don't care. Good lineup, I guess. You know, Ford kind of. We're waiting for Voit. Voit hit a double in his first at bat, homered yesterday. They say they're not going to push him because of Odor. They're not going to rush Voit because of Odor being injured, but maybe they rush Voit because he just looks good.
Yeah, that's where, sometimes the Yankees can get locked into mindsets and plans. Like, I think Voit, I think he was 4 for his first 6. And yeah. It's like, well, if he's feeling good and got a couple hits, we can fit him on the roster.
But what's the difference of Voit going to MLB early and struggling for a week before he, like, gets set than having Ford?
Can I tell you the difference?
Yeah.
A better player.
Right. It's like if you have
– Even if Voit's bad.
If you rush Voit
and
he's bad for 2 weeks – it's not going to be worse than what Ford's given you. So I mean, I think we're going to see him next series, which they kind of hinted at anyway.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean,
oh my god,
what's that? Are you biting it?
Yeah, no, you want him to be healthy. You don't want to rush him. You want him to be comfortable. Sometimes the baseball community has been super soft with that in the past, especially the Yankees. Anyways, I mean, if Luke Voit feels good and can play 9-inning games, I don't know. I'm okay with it. But whatever. We'll talk about that in the series recap coming live probably 5 p.m. We'll see. We'll be at the game, so we'll feel the juices, bring those to the podcast recording microphones. These very mics, actually.
We'll be sitting here. I'm excited. This is what we got the office. This is what we thought we could do. On podcast day, we could just walk over, watch the game, enjoy it, walk right back, be on the mic. And in the postseason, if there's home games, it's exactly our plan to bring that energy, whatever we're feeling. And that's the whole point of the whole thing is like the, you know, when CC says we're being dramatic or anyone says we're being dramatic, like we literally do the post series and I make my 1 minute videos like as much in those feelings as you can. If we waited to the next morning, it would have a much different sound to it. But that's the whole thing. So I'm excited to test that out. We'll be back. I have a what to watch for. Do we do that first?
You have a what to watch for.
Yeah, do we skip anything? This goes into like Lance McCullers a little bit, so pitching. But
okay, yeah. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Gurriel, Correa, Teixeira, Cano, and Posada for Houston.
Huge. That's wild. I said this on the main episode because Katie Sharp tipped it off. I'm very interested to see how they go about pitching to Higgy and how Higgy reacts because Higgy has not had a hit yet on a breaking pitch, and he only has one hit on an off-speed pitch. He's just been absolutely crushing fastballs. Now, the Tigers, they don't care and they don't give a shit and they're more just interested in like hitting the goddamn zone than playing to a batter's strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. So they didn't do anything about this. The Astros in the first series, they only gave Higgy he saw not a lot of fastballs. He saw majority slider and curveballs, and Higgy didn't have a hit. First game of the series, and he didn't have a hit in that series. McCullers has a really, really good curveball. What was that face?
Some funky stuff on McCullers Baseball Savant.
He has a really good curveball and a really good slider. Combined, well, I don't know how to do the math combined, but the curveball has a 143 batting average. The slider has a 100 batting average. Neither have good slugging at all. Now, his fastball has been really good this year, too. He's having a good season. But I'm interested to see, is Higgy not going to see any more fastballs until he proves he can hit a changeup or off-speed pitch? When Higgy's the backup catcher and he's getting one at-bat or one game a week, there's not a lot of scouting on him. There's not a lot of, like, this is how you attack this guy. It's just like, hey, this is the backup catcher. Just throw fastballs and get him out. And Higgy's feasted on those. So now that he's the starting catcher, now people are going to have a report on him. And I'm interested to see if McCullers gives him a fastball, if Higgy can handle the breaking and the off-speed. And this is kind of like the next step for Higgy as he gets this role. So that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
You had a premier curveball pitcher going against a guy who has not had a hit yet this season on a curveball.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I was taken aback, and I'm confident this is a glitch now, it had all of McCullers' numbers for the past 5 years as the top 1% in baseball, which didn't seem right.
Glitch. He only has a top in 2016. He was top 8% of the league in Ks. Other than that, he's never been top 10 in any category.
I'd never seen that, so I was kind of shocked. Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, at the same time, Higgy is batting eighth today. And, you know, I mean, the Astros, I'm sure their scouting department is all over this, but also, you know, if McCullers has to bang out a couple heaters, you usually do that at the bottom of the lineup. So, yeah, interested to see what that does look like, man. And Lance, I think, you know, a couple things going on in the stadium today. Altuve's B-Day, which the fans have been on him like stink on poop. And McCullers, which, I mean, just in delicious Houston fashion where Dusty came out and was talking about how the crowd was, you know, pretty ruthless, especially to Altuve. And, you know, everyone surprised how loud the stadium was. And McCullers comes out with like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that loud. I think the Yankee fans will.
He said that? I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Talking Yanks put it out there. Yeah, he's like, it wasn't that loud. It wasn't that different. Yeah, interested to see how the Yankee fans treat him today, especially if he gets in trouble early. And that's, I'd say that's kind of my what to watch for. And it's, I used the house money equation yesterday for the Yanks versus the Stros at the table. For today, it's the, you know, if there's one thing this Houston team likes doing, it's being the bad guy, or at least most of those guys have leaned into it a little bit, where, you know, they could twist the knife a little bit today. Gerrit Cole, who was teammates with some of these guys, if, you know, he's kind of our white knight. He rides in and he's, you know, the sun is behind him and the hair is flowing and it's beautiful. He's our golden goose. If they could poke him, because he really hasn't been hit this season, you know, they know that that is their way of twisting the knife. Like, that's what Dusty Baker is telling them pregame. Like, you know, you guys can actually really hit him with a shiv on the way out.
Ooh.
If you get to Cole today. And at the same time, if these Yankees do something early, and I know you've been harping on that top of the order, and holy Giancarlo, are you kidding me what he's doing right now? If they do it again, I mean, it's over. If the Yankees go up 2-0, that's Houston's already on their flight. So, yeah, not a finite guy I'm zoomed in on. I guess Glaber's still a storyline for me, man. Actually, no, it's not at all.
He's been great.
Well, the homer thing, because that's on his mind a little bit. It's Stan. Giancarlo.
I mean, if you're a baseball fan worldwide, what he's been doing for the last 10 days, it's the hottest he's ever been, personally. And I think there's now becoming stats of, like, it's the hottest any player. We're getting onto the hottest any player's ever been.
You know, if this was a movie, Jimmy, imagine.
Yeah.
What'd you just see?
No, it's my throat.
Okay.
It hurts to swallow.
You know, there's a couple heroes trying to save the princess.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's the hero that everyone's kind of been rooting for to save the princess. And that's Judge.
Lord Farmar. What's his name?
Lord Farquaad.
And then Stan comes in, and he's actually, like, the brother of Judge. He's like, I'm actually better looking and stronger.
Like, did Stan come up? I think it was his at-bat after the home run. There was runners on base again. I think it was first and third, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If he hit another homer there, that would have been, like, Giancarlo saying, like, this is my team, too, you fellas know. Like, I've got the MVP in the bag. Like, you know, Aaron Judge, you're pretty good, man. But, like, I can be the prince, too, that saves the princess. So I'm watching Giancarlo because if this continues, man, I mean, just so many frustrated uncles punching air.
He's been doing, like, really good stuff. Like they keep shifting on him, and he just hits it the other way. Like, he's not swinging for a home run all the time. He's just hitting the ball hard.
Good at bat.
Dude, that double yesterday, he didn't even follow through. I almost posted the GIF, but I didn't care anymore because it was like, well, Yes Network put like a bunch of graphics around it, so it wasn't a clean shot. But he just meets the ball. He just meets the ball, and his follow-through is kind of like, it's almost like a tennis shot, you know, when you kind of just meet the ball and then you kind of just roll over.
Forehand.
Yeah, you just kind of roll over. That's kind of what he does. It's so bizarre.
I guess it's a backhand with the left.
Yeah, but you know how they tennis players like just kind of meet the ball and then it kind of turns over?
His swing is like a Russian backhand.
Yeah. In his last, in Stan's last 32 at-bats, he has 19 hits.
It's pretty good.
It's a 594 batting average in the last 7 games.
And by the way, in our movie from yesterday, where the princes and princesses are doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, the other prince had a pretty gnarly day yesterday.
Oh, Judge?
Yeah.
Yeah, Judge was, I was going to say him as my what to watch for, but the Higgy stuff I had said already, but I'm not worried about Judge. Like Booney said afterwards, like, well, yeah, the results were bad, but the at-bats weren't awful.
Yeah, and he didn't look lost.
And I fully agree with that. It was never like we've seen in the past, and especially this season, we've seen guys step in and like, you know, well, I won't name names. I'll keep vibes positive. Okay. But we've seen guys step in, and you're just like, they have no idea what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, Judge was one of them earlier in the year when they were just like taking fastballs, swinging up bad pitch. Like, Judge's at-bats didn't feel as bad as the result. Like when it was like 0 for 5 with 5 Ks, I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that. So I'm not really worried about Judge. But today, if he goes 0 for 5 with 4 Ks again, then we are now starting to get worried. But I'm not worried right now.
Yeah, Garcia made some really nice pitches against him yesterday. And that's
someone in chat says every at-bat was 3-2. Is that true?
I don't know.
Remember it feeling like a lot of 3-2 counts. I don't know.
I'll go look into that. Because if that's the case, that...
I believe in Zach and Edward, so I'll believe it.
First at-bat was 1-2.
Okay.
Next at-bat was 1-2.
Okay.
Next at-bat was 1-2.
Okay.
Next at-bat was 1-2. And the last at-bat was 3-2. So.
1-for-5, not bad.
1-for-5 was a 3-2 count.
I remember saying, like, at least one.
Yeah, at least one. Yeah. The last one.
I think what that would be in the back pocket is we've heard really respected people like John Smoltz and other guys around baseball, they say, like, you know, if you can dot around that corner with Judge, you can get him out. And I think Garcia did that a little bit yesterday. So that's just in a very back pocket fear. But we'll call it a bad day at the office. And maybe he homers today, Jimmy.
Maybe.
Maybe it's 3 today.
Can neither of us take Judge nor Stan today?
I believe so.
It's kind of a bummer. Pitching path to victory?
Maybe Zach will change the rules by the time we get there. Who knows?
Pitching path to victory today.
Garrett Cole.
They saved Chad yesterday. I think it's Cole to Chad to Chapman if they have their perfect map.
Yeah.
Which we said yesterday, I thought they might save Chad. He was at 21 pitches, and there was other guys available. Sessa and Johnny Loaizaga pitch yesterday.
I love
and
Sessa, man.
I waved him today.
Did he wave back?
Mm-hmm. I was in the car in front of him, so I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw Luis Sessa, and then in his passenger seat was Johnny Loaizaga.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, hey. And then I did the on the steering wheel, two fingers up wave in the rearview, and then he did it back.
Nice.
Then he leaned in, like, who is that?
Right.
And then he kind of nudged Loaizaga and was like, I think he said, like, hey, I think that's John Boy. And then they looked at their phone, and then they looked up at me and said, oh, hi.
Nice.
Because Loaizaga is... He follows us on Instagram, tunes into everything.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah. They're a duo. They're a carpool duo.
Cecil look handsome?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a handsome guy. Someone in the office said, like, it's funny that they carpool, but they have to. They can't take Uber. They can't take the subway. We learned that last year that they all have carpool buddies because they, otherwise, it's just everyone getting their own car.
Yeah.
Which sucks. All right. Who is it
That's
today?
Why you got that cute video. It was Gio picked up Glaber this year. Glaber picked up Gio.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know last year it was like Canely, Voigt. No, Voigt, Holder, and Chad were carpool buddies last year, which is great.
Yeah.
I think they might use Lidke for an out here in that lane again.
Ooh.
He didn't pitch yesterday. So, like, if they want to go call to Lidke before they hand it to Chad and Chapman, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Whereas Wandy pitched 2 days in a row, so you're not going to go to Wandy.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. They might get Wilson to work instead of Litke. Wilson hasn't pitched in a game in 4 days, which I know is...
So hold up then. If they don't use him, I think we've officially kind of... And they use Litke over him here in a lefty lane.
Yeah.
I think we can say, ooh.
Right now ahead.
Right now, they...
They did have Wilson. Lowered. They did have him up in the pen last night if they got a 4-run lead in the ninth. They had Wilson pitching, throwing next to Chapman. But yeah, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, I mean, I think it's Garrett, Chad, Chappie. If this game gets funky at all, if the Yankees, let's say the Yankees blow them out, this is a Yankees podcast. You have King and Abreu to burn bullets, which is one of the Yankees' favorite pastimes when they can.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If they need to bridge the gap, so I think we know that if it's a close game, Chapman and Chad will be the back end. If they need to bridge a gap between Cole and Chad, I'm interested.
Okay.
If they use Wilson or Litke. And I'm guessing that they use Litke and not Wilson, but...
How about Wandy yesterday?
Over the head first pitch. Wasn't a fan of that.
I don't think it was intentional.
Me neither, but it was... but the same thing. Don't do that, man. And then he did come through.
2-0. Wasn't near the zone.
Well, and he dealt with that
and then
fake
struck
foul
him out twice. Yeah.
Did you like what Boone said to the ump there?
It's kind of tough for Gary, but
Gary didn't say anything.
Yeah. Maybe they thought it was tipped. I don't know.
I think
you're both.
Yeah. Well, if you're wrong and he's wrong, you're both wrong.
Like, classic argument.
Pretty tough for the umpire. Like, imagine if you're a high school coach and you're like, even your catcher.
Yeah.
Knows that in the high school. I'm just like, our catcher's a fucking idiot.
I want to listen.
Trust me. You don't want him on your side. You've just lost. Yeah. It's like when you go to like a, you bring your girlfriend to the family barbecue and she sides with the wrong aunt or uncle and you're like, oh, no, you don't. Maybe she's right in this one argument, but it's just you can't be on that side right now. Like, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Homer draft, it's the Homer draft. Jake tied it up yesterday with a home run from Stanton, so the series is tied. You got it one Stanton home run. I got one Stanton home run. It was a good pick. You were debating saving him for this game three.
I think he hits one today.
Yeah, but you got one already, so you're good.
What if he hits two today?
Then that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, I have first pick here. I cannot take Judge, Hicks, or Stanton. Jake has already taken DJ LeMahieu, so if I do want DJ, I shouldn't take him right now. I don't know why it's so weird how I can't think unless I have all the names in front of me. So, let's see.
I think you could take Ford, and maybe that's it.
Well, if Higgy's still a legal pick, my options are DJ, Clint, Ford, Glaber, Gio. I'll take Gio with my first pick.
It's a good pick.
I'll take Gio with my... He hasn't roped one in a while, or maybe he has. I don't remember. Gary got good wood on that first pitch last night.
Gary.
That thing's out in 2019.
Gio had a close one to right center. I think it was the first game.
Okay.
Yeah, he...
I like that.
Sterling thought it was going to be a home run for a second, but it wasn't.
K's thought a lot. I think we are seeing some side effects of the ball now. There's been a couple where... Like, I thought Gary's was gone yesterday, and then it wasn't. And, I mean, Jock Peterson pimped a ball that was, like, 15 feet short of the wall last night in the Cubs game. So I'm taking Gio.
Three no-hitters. It's a good pick, Jimmy.
Four if you count Mad Bum.
Four if you count Mad Bum. I think what I'm going to do, I've taken Judge, Clint, DJ, and Stanton.
Go Hicks and Glaber. You won't.
I mean, that's what it's looking like because Zach won't lift the Higgy ban. Is today like a weird 40 day? Does he bump into one with McCullers?
He's still upset about that outside pitch that he...
Three hits, two home runs. He's hit like two nice fly balls. He's really good at that.
It's a little bit like, you know.
A little bit of chicken fried.
You got to earn it type, which a lot of people don't like that mentality. Mm-hmm. But I kind of do agree with it sometimes. And Ford, you can't argue about close calls in the manner you did yesterday.
Yeah.
You just.
I mean, we've had this topic on Talking Baseball and stuff. Like, it's just the rest of the team can't defend you on that.
The optics.
Yeah.
Are bad.
Like, it was a ball.
Yeah.
But. 40. Like, that's McCullers. McCullers gets Glaber out, and then he goes to sleep against Ford, and he gets one.
At this point, if you don't take Ford and he pops one, you'll.
Glaber and Hicks.
Seems like that was what it was. And I'm going to go Gio and DJ LeMahieu. Sometimes these game threes kind of, they're there for you. Especially with the Higgy ban.
I think I'm going to regret the Ford.
You might regret the Ford.
I think so.
Okay.
He's hit a couple good fly balls lately.
Ooh, what do you think the over-under is today? You have two premier pitchers. The last time we had two good pitchers with Glasnow and Cole, was that the matchup? Didn't they drop it all the way down to 6.5?
That was 6.5. The Yankees sucked. Glasnow was looking
incredible.
Full Glasnow.
I think they're going to go to 7.5 because that's where you really get more people taking the over. I think if they set it at 8, I think they want money on both sides, 50% on both sides. And I think Vegas gets that at 7.5 more so than at 8, where I think everyone takes the under.
See, I normally like being a half point high, and I think a half point high today would be 7.5. So I'll throw the 7 out there then.
Well, you would throw 8 out there then.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
So you think it's 6.5?
No, I would want to put 7.5. I think 7 is probably right, but you're normally right. So I'll take the 7 today.
Okay, I think it's 7.5. Yeah.
7.5.
Me and Vegas got the same brain.
Yeah.
You go 8, you're probably getting 70% of people on the under. You go 7.5, you're probably going 50-50.
Gotta get some picks right, though. You're starting to slow down on the
I know. Under. I'm a 500. Oh, I'm 0-3 now.
Losing money on the VIG.
Why didn't they go over yesterday? What was the final score?
6-3.
I was 9.5. Fuck.
Me and Vegas with the same brain.
Shit, man. Day game after a night game. Sunday, getaway day. What's Astros' schedule?
I like that, Jim.
Are they traveling? Do they have a long flight today? Or do they have a short train ride somewhere close? Oh, they're going down to Florida?
Florida.
Ooh, but they have an 8:10 game tomorrow night in Dunedin. So I don't think they're too worried about getting out of town. They're not rushing out of town. And the Yankees, do they have one more at home? Yeah, they had three
against the Nats.
So they're staying. So the Yankees don't give a fuck about getting out of town today. Ooh. I think I'm going to go under, man. Last time we saw a day game, a getaway day game, Kluber just, like, dominated, and the bats got a couple runs and let it be. I can see this being a 3-1, 3-0 game. And it not feeling like that. That's kind of how day games go. It's like, you know, it can be a close game, but it will never really feel like that. Even 5-1 is what someone just said in the chat. That would be the under still. So, yeah, I'm going to go under today.
Yeah, I guess this game goes over if the Yankees get to McCullers and Astros basically punt the rest of the series.
Yeah.
So that's...
What's their bullpen usage been at?
That's what I'm kind of unsure about because their bullpen right now isn't the strength of their team. I mean, I believe in Garrett, obviously, to the umpteenth degree, and Chad and Chappie.
They used some guys they like yesterday because it was a close game for a little.
Yeah.
Right? They used Ryan Stanek, and they used Brooks Raley. They haven't used Presley yet, so if they just want to get him action, you might see him in a close game. Kent Emanuel got up yesterday. They didn't use him.
It feels like the under. We're going to be in the building, though, and like we could probably push a couple across.
I don't know.
Like, if the guys hear us?
I don't know if I can yell. My voice hurts.
If we say, like,
try your hardest.
Get a... Win this pitch. I'll go under with you, Jim.
Okay.
I think that's the pick.
Under. We're both on the under. But we forgot to ask Zach, and I forgot to ask Zach, whose home run picks he liked the most. Gio and DJ for me, Glaber and Hicks for Jake. Glaber hasn't homered on the year yet.
Yeah, I really like the Gio pick.
Okay.
Lean in Jimmy.
You know, that sounds so sad about it. I like the Gio pick as well.
I like that you sounded sad about it.
Okay.
Okay, well, then I liked it because it was nice of you.
We come back around.
Does DJ have homers this year?
He's like one.
One. Yeah, one. And Glaber, zero. Gardy, zero. And Wade, zero.
I wrote down a note.
You have a note?
Yesterday about DJ LeMahieu.
What was your note, man?
You'll have to tune into the podcast to hear about it.
Oh, biz. Pockdast.
That's, what did you say?
Pockdast.
Spell it.
P-O-C-D-A-S-T.
Okay, hyphen in the middle.
If you want. It's like an either order thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no rules. Spelling is arbitrary.
Like everyone.
How nuts is it that some people dedicate their lives some people dedicate their lives to correcting spelling and grammar when it's the most arbitrary thing in the world?
Yeah.
If you understand what people say, you understood what people
said.
Figured
it out.
It don't matter. None of it matters.
Yeah, you know? That first time you see that sentence, like where all the words are spelled
besides the first and the last, but you can read it perfectly, it's like, oh, spelling doesn't matter at all. Yeah. Anyone that spends a lot of time and effort making sure they spell things correctly and other people spell things correctly are wasting a lot of their day. And it's really arbitrary. Same with math. See, that's where I was joking because math actually does matter and I wish I was good at it, but I'm
right.
Not. Spelling, I could care less about. Premonition?
Ooh, premos.
So, dude, I thought mine, I was like, when Gardy got on first base yesterday and then DJ was up.
Here we go.
I was like, come on, give it to me, give it to me. But then DJ walked and then Gardy scored from second, which is not what I said was going to happen.
I mean, he was on first at one point.
Yeah, he did. He was on first and then he scored.
So, I mean, what are we really doing here? Premonition, what will you tell me? Premonition. Okay. Oh. To the.
Ooh.
What? Ooh.
Oh,
I saw
one.
A color and an emotion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Red and hunger?
No.
Green. And cold.
It was like a dark blue. What's yours?
Mine was that Cole and an Astros batter have a weird exchange.
Ooh, okay.
Either before the at-bat or after the at-bat, where everyone's kind of like, what? What were they saying to each other? I think it was friendly. They're just joking? Like, what? You know, it was the first time he's seen him. He didn't pitch against him last year since being on the team with them. But it's not clear what it is. But Cole's so in the zone, he usually doesn't talk to batters at all. So it would feel a little weird in general. Just like a weird...
Okay.
Yeah.
A weird Cole exchange. Yeah, I'm just seeing that, like, that dark blue color.
Samuel Mooney in the chat said, literally copy editing documents while listening to you guys. Gut punch. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Some stuff should be readable.
In certain forums, it matters.
Yeah.
On social media or...
No, it just shouldn't
books
be.
Books and, like, lawyer documents.
It just shouldn't be minus points. Like, if you have a business meeting and you give a, here's the three pages that you pass around, and, like, if there's a spelling error, like, that's kind of like, whoa, were these guys not prepared?
You really didn't put a lot of effort this, did okay. you? It's like,
kind of did.
Well, just, Twitter mostly. If you spend your time correcting spelling on Twitter, yeah. like, you are wasting your time. Did you understand what I said?
What do you think the dark blue color means? I look at the light, and I look just to the left of it, and I just see, like, a swirling dark blue
dark
energy.
Dark blue, have you ever been alone in a crowded room? And I'm here with
you. Any idea, Zach?
It's funny you said that, because I saw a color as well in a premonition. But, see, I saw your blue in my vision, but mm-hmm. my blue was like a shade darker than that blue. That's what
Guys, I've Googled what does dark blue mean, yeah. and we'll figure this out.
Yeah.
What does dark blue symbolize? Dark blue symbolizes integrity.
Okay.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
Power and seriousness.
Okay, so maybe...
Did you just describe Garrett Cole? Sans maybe the integrity if you care
yeah,
about pine
maybe,
tar?
Yeah, maybe it's Cole. Maybe it's a... Like, maybe Judge, like, tells a fan today to, like, chill out a little bit. Like, there's just one asshole who just doesn't get it, who's, like, not chanting. He's just doing his own thing. And being rude, and Judge just turns to him, and he's like, no. Like, we're the Yankees.
Put your pants back on, Jake.
Okay. Jake Sanderson.
How about Jacob DeGrom having everyone call him Jacob DeGrom when he goes by Jake?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jake sucks.
Ah, he's pretty good.
That's the rub, as you'd like to say.
That's why he doesn't go by Jake. He wants to distance himself from Jake's, but he'll allow people to call him that in person. Okay.
You think people call him Grom?
Ooh. Grommet? Only no, surfers. Just like, it's an insult. Like can't yeah. call someone a Grommet.
We didn't say Grommet.
Well, you can't call... I mean, yeah. you know, where's DeGrom from?
No idea.
Is he from a coastline?
Yeah.
He went to college in Florida. Stetson University.
Yeah, he's from DeLand.
DeLand. DeLand.
He's from DeLand, Florida.
They should change that town to DeGrom.
That's pretty funny. DeLand and DeGrom.
Right.
Let me see. Is this on the is this close to water though? Not really.
I lost my straw on the way in, so I'm using this damn sucker straw to get to the bottom. I've got to like have it all the way down.
That sucks. You know, he's kind of close to Daytona Beach. That's not where I picture DeGrom from. He's half hour from Daytona Beach. So, yeah, I don't know if he likes being called Grom, if he's, you know, around the surfer community. Yeah. And that's that. That's the show.
Check out our social medias. We'll put out some content.
Yeah, at the game. We're going to the game. We're going to be in section 176. We're not going to be. I don't even. I was trying to come up with a section that's not real.
I don't think that's a section.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with a fake section.
I think that was a good Yankee yeah. Stadium non-section.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure also people would be looking for that and be like, where is it?
Let's see.
Yankee Stadium. Seating chart. Is there a 176?
I don't think it goes that high.
I was trying to name one yeah. that doesn't exist.
I think you're good.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it goes up to the 30s.
I saw the yeah. joke. That's probably the number I would have went with, too.
Yeah, it goes to the 30s. There's 438 and 238. I think that's the highest it goes. So, yeah, there's no whatever I said. We are in a section, but I don't know if we're going to be committed to sitting in that section, so I'm not going to say it.
Could
if you see us at the game, say hi.
Yeah, say
we
don't, hi.
We like when people
maybe
say hi.
Maybe a quick pick. Do yeah. Can you take us out with maybe a acoustic version of Dark Blue?
You want me to sing it, or?
If you want. We'll never stop you.
Dark blue. No, I'll find one.
Saw them live at UConn. 2009 or 2010.
You almost said 2019. I know that's not right. Yeah.
Wasn't that? It was, who sings that song?
Jack's Mannequin.
Jack's Mannequin opening up for Kid Cudi, one of the worst concerts I've ever been to.
Really?
And I was so excited.
Wow.
I love Kid Cudi's album, but it seems like it wouldn't be a great
His
concert.
Performance was a disaster. He did like four songs, and it was
seems
like
a lot
awful,
like the type of music where you're like, I don't think that translates to a stage.
It's bad audio.
I like Cudi too, so that's upsetting.
I do too.
Yeah. It was just very much like.
But it was probably an outdoor venue.
I'm doing a college. No, it was in Gamble.
Oh.
It was just very much a college concert. Like, didn't care. Like, probably got paid by the student union and was in and out. Like, I don't think it was part of his tour.
Like when we saw Trey Songz?
Yes.
DJ Yup!
My buddy that went to Fairfield, he said Ludacris did a show there, and he said like 90% of the time he just hyped up the crowd to do like which side was louder.
The whole time?
he said most of the concert would be like, right side!
That's a skit that BBD loves. That's a...
Is that, is that a Tim Robinson?
It's a Tim Robinson skit that BBD loves.
Yeah.
Where the Pointer Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
They just go on stage and they just point at people. That's the whole thing. They just point. Yeah.
He just did a left, middle, and right, which section was louder for most of the concert.
That's great. Yeah, Trey Songz DJ's name is DJ Yup. It's great.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.